Well, good morning and Merry Christmas. Thank you. It is going to be a Merry Christmas, but if you have not started your Christmas shopping, I fear that you are in a bit of what we call a quagmire. It's not to say it can't be done. I know some of you are like, I can do it. I got it all under control. But with only 2 days left of shopping, you possibly have removed a few options of things that you can buy. So as a result of the limited choice you might have, if you find yourself in need of still a few gifts, there are some last-minute gifts that you might be able to find, and I brought a few with me here today. The first one, which I find really interesting that I want to show you, is this one here. Go ahead, Burke, show us that one. Yep, hander pants. These are for those people that really feel like insecure about having naked hands, apparently. Especially in gloves, as if the gloves is the pants and, you know, you don't want to just shovel snow with your hands commando style, you know. So you need some hander pants. So that's a first option that you might be able to. That'll only set you back $12.95, by the way. Quite the deal. The next one is really for the guests in your home as they come. This is called butt and face soap. So it comes a single bar, and one side is white and says face, and the other side is not white, and it says butt. Did you know that there was a side of your soap for what you... Maybe some of you have two bars of soap. Maybe this is for more of the minimalist in your... I don't really know what to say about this or why someone, created it, but apparently I bought it. $10.99 will set you back for your butt and face soap. The next one is only $6.99. Maybe you're... It's called the Pizza Pocket. It has a lanyard. You know, like you go somewhere and you're like, you know, I'd like a couple slices of pizza. And you're like, how do you, it's got a zipper thing. And you just open this up and then you can just slide it in there. And you carry it around. You're like, got one here and you got one here. I kind of like this. I mean, you got to be a pizza lover, I get it. But, you know, you're kind of like wearing it. You're like, hey, this is my, you know. This might fit right along with that hat I have that has the two cup holders on the side. I don't know. Well, you know, there's always the pizza pouch. Let's see. This next one is a book. You can find some discounted books. This one I have. This is Bill Cosby, Love and Marriage. It's only $4.99. Price is dropping constantly on it, so. Yeah. Last one I want to show you is the world's smallest vacuum. This one only sets you back $17.95 for the world's smallest vacuum. Yes, it literally is like a little tiny dustbuster for, you know, those little messes in your life. But I think this certainly is the best gift for the minimalist in your life as they clean up, you know, the small messes that life brings your way. So I'm actually going to give one of these away today. If you look in your program and open it up to page 5, which is where you take notes, messages, if you have a sticker there, you have won one of these items. Who's got it? Who's got a sticker? Page 5. I think it might be a unicorn sticker. Well, what do you want? Well, if you go to Twyla's house, be sure you use the soap appropriately. Yeah. What? We have two in the same service? All right. The world's tiniest vacuum? All right. Anybody else have one with a sticker? Someone could be selling stickers this morning and be doing pretty well, so. There you go. Congratulations. All right. Well, it's Christmas time, and you know, it's that time of year where it seems like everything's got to come together. Nothing seems to be coming together. There are going to be things that are going to be outside of your control, things that you can't control, that you want to control, that you've been trying to control. And that is the focus of what we're talking about today as we continue this Traveling Light series. This idea that as we travel through life, we need to lighten the load of some of these things that seem to weigh us down, that are heavy on us. We've talked about various ones already, whether it's been the material things that we, you know, carry around on our journey. Last week, Pastor Brian shared some relational truths as we talked about getting rid of that root of bitterness in our lives that really helps in our relationships. But today I want to talk about this issue of control. What is it that you control, or what is it that you try to control? Some of you are controlling type people. Others of you, maybe you wouldn't, you know, classify yourself as controlling, but still we're all trying to control certain things in life. I mean, that's just kind of a normal part of life. It's trying to have control over things so that they are working the way we want them to or expect them to or need them to. And finding that line on things that you should and shouldn't control is a blurry line for most of us, maybe even more so for some of us than others, but we all fit into this category of trying to control things, and where is that line on what we should and shouldn't control? Are you controlling in a negative way? Like, is it a negative result in your life as a result of your attempt to control? So I want to show you a couple of questions here today that you can kind of score for yourself on whether you think your control is negative or not. The first one is, do you keep a toxic scorecard? So when I say a toxic scorecard, this is where you are keeping a record of ways that you've been wronged, or this is a way that you're kind of saying, hey, I did this for you, so you should be doing something for me. A toxic scorecard is one that is very self-centered, but also is trying to control others with that. You're always letting other people know what you did for them. You're always letting people know why they should be responding to you or doing the way that you want them done. So do you keep a toxic scorecard? Could be that you're controlling in a negative way. Second one is, are you critical of others? Especially those that are closest to you. Are you critical? You know, if somebody does something, prepares something, makes something, maybe they're a part of something, they present in some way, is your first response like, great job, that was wonderful, you put a lot of effort into it, or is it critique? You could have done this better, you could have done that better. You should have done it like this, or I wish you would have that. Is it critique? You know, instead of a thank you, it's a critique on what they didn't do right with it. If you're a critical person, it could be that you're trying to control, and that control is coming across in a negative way. Third one, do you make your care of other people conditional? What I mean by that is, do they have to do something in order for you to care about them? Or do they feel like they have to do something in order for you to care about them? Like, you know, hey, if you want me to be there for you in this way, well, you're going to have to do this. You know, I'm not going to support you here because you don't do it the way I want it done. And so my care for you is conditional on what you do. That's a way of controlling other people and other circumstances. The fourth one, do you snoop or are you jealous? Or are you needing full disclosure from people? Like, no one can have a secret from you. You know, you need to know what's going on. You'll dig into someone's diary or you'll get into their personal business because you need to know what's going on. Sometimes we justify that. We say, well, I want to make sure someone's safe, or I want to make sure someone is this or that. I'm not saying there aren't times, especially as a parent, that you may need to look into what's going on in your kid's life if there's something they're presenting that is a problem. But for the most part, someone that's doing this kind of behavior is doing this in all areas of their life. They're trying to get the skinny, trying to figure everything out about others, and they want that full disclosure. sometimes their care of them is related to that as well. The last one to kind of reflect on here is, do you ask for opinions and then reject the answers? So it might say, where do you want to go for dinner tonight? Oh, let's go to Applebee's. No, I don't want to go to Applebee's. Sure, that's a joke. Like, you know, we laugh about how we do that with one another, but it can get to where it becomes kind of a controlling way, letting someone know that their ideas never are going to work. And after they present and after you can tear down, then you can say what you want to do. It keeps you from being criticized, and it's critical of others and their ideas or their thoughts. You see, when we're trying to control other people, it can really come off in a negative way, and it's hard to see controlling behavior in ourselves. It's really easy to see it in another person. And if you feel right now, as we just kind of go through this list, like you are so ready to point the finger at somebody here this morning, I want you to know, I want you to resist, just curl those fingers back, and realize that the message here today is for you. Because we all have issues of control in our lives in ways that it is impacting in a negative way. Whether they're on this list or not, we need to worry about ourselves and how we're presenting and what we're doing with the way we're interacting with the world, and not always so focused on what someone else is doing, because that can be controlling in itself. Trying to control the controller. And the battle royale begins. So I believe that God has something for all of us here today, and I want to trust that he has something for you today. And I want to remind you that you cannot change other people. You can only change you. At the end of the service today, I'm going to ask you to take the piece of paper that was on the seat as you came in and sat down, and I'm going to ask you to write something down on that piece of paper that is something that you are trying to control, that you want to release your control over, all right? Now, for some of you, you can't even fathom that you would write anything on that piece of paper. Hang with me. I hope I give you something by the end. Others of you, it can't be somebody else's something. Okay, this is you, your control, all right? You don't have to have it right now. You don't even have to be convicted that you should write anything down, but I want you to be thinking as we're going through this message that at the end I am going to ask you to write something down on there anonymously. Like, I don't need your name and phone number and email address on there. Like, this is just benign. You're just going to write down what this thing is that you are controlling, and maybe it's negative, and you need to release control of this thing. So I want to start off today by looking at the Christmas story, because believe it or not, there are a lot of issues of controlling in the Christmas story, because there's a lot that we can learn about the issue of control as we look at what happened at the time where Christmas began. So let's open up our Bibles to Luke chapter 1. I'm going to start at verse 26, and it says this: in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary, and she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. My life continually provides opportunities for me to be confused and disturbed. How about you? It seems to be an unending opportunity where things come my way and I am confused by them or disturbed by them or both. How in the world did I end up at this place in my life, you might say? It's confusing. How did this thing happen to me? Or you're disturbed by what these things might be. Why did this happen? It disturbs me. Why did I deserve this pain? Or why did I deserve this trouble? You get the idea where you start thinking things like, you know, I need to fix this. I need to do something about this. I need to figure this thing out. I am confused. I am disturbed. And I need to respond to this. Well, the story continues on. Looking at verse 30, it says, the angel is speaking now and says, "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God, and you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be very great, will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end." Okay, let's pause right here. couple of things. This angel is telling Mary, this young kid, that she is going to give birth. Not only that, but the angel knows the gender. It's going to be a son. And you already have been given the name. His name is going to be Jesus. And this son is going to be the Son of the Most High. This is the Son of God. And he's going to reign over Israel. He's a king. It is so hard to put ourselves in the place of this girl, where she was living, the situation that she lived in, and to get news like this. This is startling news. This is definitely confusing and definitely disturbing news that she is receiving. So Mary has a question. Going on, verse 34, it says, Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen?" This is the most basic, normal, logical question this girl can ask, right? You've been just given news that requires certain biological things to take place. And Mary's like, may seem like a strange question, but I got to ask the how. I learned the birds and the bees. They are not seeming to apply to the news you just gave me. Are you at the right address? How can this happen? I am a virgin. And the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. It really clears that up. Thank you. So the baby to be born will be holy. And he will be called the Son of God. Powerful words for Mary. Going on, verse 36. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. And people used to say that she was barren, but she is now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. And Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. So Mary has this relative, Elizabeth. She is considerably older. That is all that the Bible tells us, is that it is her relative. Considering the age and the specificness of her being her relative, most have assumed, and probably correct, that this is Mary's aunt. And she is now 6 months pregnant in her senior years. Kind of a miracle. This is kind of the same as like Abraham and Sarah kind of a thing. And she's given birth as well. And so this is, again, a testimony and an example to Mary of God's faithfulness and what God can do. Now, let's get back to our subject of controlling. There are some of you here today that are very controlling, but you have already, so far this morning, rejected that notion. I want you to know that if you have rejected the idea that you are controlling, you just defined that you are. Because all of us have this. And we have to see it within ourselves. We have to understand that we have the propensity, that we have the ability, that sometimes we have the bent or the reaction to control something instead of receive something or accept something or let something else take a course that might be healthy for that thing to take without interceding in it. I remember as a child, we had basically an incubator with an egg. And I remember that during class, that little bird started to peck its way out of the egg. And so what do you want to do as a kid? I mean, you've been watching this egg, you've been waiting, we've all named it, like we're waiting for this little chick to come out. And when it starts pecking out, what we want to do is we want to break that egg and help that little chicken get out because it was struggling and it was making squeaky sounds and the girls were crying and, you know, the guys were like, it looks delicious. But nonetheless, it was a moving moment and we wanted to help. And the teacher said, if you help that bird out of that situation, it's going to die. It needs the struggle to build, to grow, to do its thing. You ever seen a butterfly come out of a cocoon? It is the ugliest, fattest, goofiest looking thing. And it struggles to get out. But the struggle helps start to move the fluids within the body. And then as that large abdomen, the fluids move around. And finally it gets out and dissipates down and it can fly. And it's this beautiful creature. But the struggle is what helps it become what it's going to become. Controlling people diminish the opportunity for the goodness of the struggles of life to help shape us to who we are. And in their ability or their attempt to control what's going on, they rob others of the opportunity to be all that they could be and to learn from it and keep themselves in a very infantile state because they're not learning the things that they need to learn because someone else is controlling all of it over them. Control is damaging. And controlling people do justify their controlling behavior. They don't believe they're controlling. They just say things like, I'm just being aggressively helpful. I'm not controlling, I'm just thoroughly organized. I think some people are wound so tight, they seem to make coffee nervous. They just got to have it all under control. You know, you got to influence, you know, your kids and what your kids are up to. You know, what they wear, what their hair looks like. You know, you got to make them do this and do that. And what college are they going to go to? You know, what score are they getting in the ACT? You know, what about their wedding and controlling all the details of their wedding and grandkids and how teaching them how to parent and control everything. Some of us, it's our spouse, the person that we live with. And I want you to know that if you are trying to control your spouse, you are flat out wearing them out. How they chew, how they dress, what they watch, how they fold specific parts of the laundry, how they load the dishwasher or don't load the dishwasher, how they spend their spare time, how they drive. Have I hit any nerves out there? Because I want you to know this. If you're the controlling person in a relationship or if you're trying to control your spouse, I want to tell you that when you're not there, they still make it to point A and point B just fine. Like no one has to, like at the signal, no one has to like step in and go, you didn't, yep, they're fine. They'll be fine. But the controlling is trying to dictate how everything goes instead of letting someone be who they are and let the goodness of the differences of who they are impact and benefit your relationship together. Some of us are controlling about ourselves, our own image, what others think about us, social media. You know, the person that takes 60 spontaneous-looking selfies so they can have that perfect, I just woke up look, you know, trying to control what everybody sees about them instead of just being who you are. I love people, you know, taking pictures of food. People get a lot of heat for that, but some people are really committed to it. They're going to show everyone what they ate. I love the people that take pictures of their food that just looks like, you know, yuck on a plate. Like, this is what I had for dinner. I'm like, amen. I mean, I wouldn't want to eat that, but yeah, just it is what it is. Like, this is what I had for dinner. So, but trying to control our image and what others think. But here's the reality. The more you try to be in control, the more you're going to fear losing control. The more you try to be in control, the more fear you're going to have in losing control. Because the need to control is driven by fear. Our need to control something is our fear that if we don't, something really bad is going to happen. Fear is the motivator for people who are trying to control certain situations. Now, it doesn't mean that that is bad all the time. Many times that's necessary. But it also comes across very negatively in our life when we're controlling things that we don't need to control. Because the outcome isn't going to be bad. It's just going to be different than what you expect. Or someone might go through a hard time as a result of you not stepping in, but that hard time is necessary for them to grow and to develop and to be who they need to be. Because when you control, you begin to think that you are the one that controls the good outcomes. And as I said, you have then undermined and severely underestimated their ability, but not only their ability, but God's ability to be there and to control those things in other people's lives. Because as we try to control, we fear losing control. And that control comes out of this sense of fear within ourselves. If you're following along on the page for your fill-ins, here's your fill-in. You don't always have the power to control, but you always have the power to surrender, which is like a curse word for a person who likes to control. In fact, surrender is only for others, to your control, but not you. Surrender is not something that we do. Look, when the angel came to Mary, right? Remember, she is just a teenage girl, probably somewhere in the age of 13 to 15, somewhere in there. Doesn't tell us her specific age, But she is just a young teen girl. Now, people married earlier in their culture, so that wasn't so odd that she is engaged at this age. But, you know, she was had her hopes and she had her dreams as a young girl who's engaged and thinking about what her future might be. She is from this little tiny podunk town called Nazareth. And in this little town, there is no match.com. Okay, how do you meet people in this little tiny town? You can't travel. The way that we access things today is not the same as it was then. Travel isn't easy. And her pool of people to ask for her hand in marriage were very, very limited. And the man that she would marry would end up being the daddy to her own children. He would not only be the daddy to her children, but he would be her lifeline to be cared for and to be protected in life, because women could not survive as a single mom or as a single woman in that culture. No jobs were available for women in that culture. She had to have a family in order to survive, and the man that she would marry would provide that for her. And so, what would she get? Who would ask her? Who would she marry? Who is this person going to be? So the angel Gabriel comes to her and tells her that she's going to become pregnant, and then not by Joseph or any other man, but by the miracle of God. And in that statement alone, Mary could lose everything. This young girl who's in desperate need of this proposal and this family that she can build with this man, Joseph, could all go up in smoke by this one statement that's made. You're going to become pregnant. It is not going to be by a man. It's going to be by the miracle of God. How in the world does she explain this? And who's going to believe it? Who's going to accept the things that she might say about this? A very good possibility, in fact, the probability that Joseph would leave her as a result of this. Because if she has this baby, even being pregnant and people knowing about it, she becomes damaged goods. And as damaged goods, she may never marry again. She may never have the family that she hoped to have. And the scriptures say that she was confused and disturbed. And I think that is a light term for what she was probably experiencing. But you too here today might also be that way. Because you might not have a surprise child. But at the same point, there could be some of you here today that want a child and can't have a child. And maybe some of you here today are trying to adopt, but you're finding adoption to be very difficult and keeps falling through and your heart continues to break. But maybe you're confused and disturbed today because your work is downsized. Maybe you've lost your paycheck. Maybe there's a broken relationship in your life that isn't the way that you want it to be. Maybe there's a health issue that's in front of you, for you or for someone that you love. And maybe someone that you love has even died. Maybe you are confused and disturbed with just the things of normal life. The fighting of the kids, it seems to never end. It seems to rob the joy of even the holiday season. Do you think of how am I going to referee this all week long? Some of you, it's going to be things like flights that get canceled. Some of you are going to get left home alone and you'll have to fend off robbers while your family's on vacation. It's happened. Maybe you never got your Christmas lights to turn on. Maybe you blew up your great aunt's cat that chewed through the wire on the tree. Mary was confused. Mary was disturbed because she didn't know the end of the story. You know it, right? But you've got to hear it as Mary heard it. And she is confused. She is disturbed because she does not know the end of the story. And you and I may be confused and disturbed of the events that are happening in our lives and the lives of others that we love and care about, and you don't know the end of the story. I don't know the end of what that story is going to be. I don't know how that's going to play out. And that can build up fear, and when there's fear, we have a tendency to want to then control and take control away from the one who created life. Take it away from God as if I have a better plan. I have a better action. I know better than God knows. You see, Mary didn't know that the child that was coming to her would become the Savior of the world. She didn't know that her own name would be spoken for thousands of years after this event. Mary didn't know that there would actually be churches named after her. Nope. Just a girl faced with the probability of all lost dreams. That's what she was faced with. And a choice that she had to make in that moment. You see, you don't always have the power to control, but you always have the power to surrender. And Mary had to make the choice. Her plans or God's purpose? Her dreams or God's destiny? Her control or God's calling? Mary had a choice that she had to make. And even though she doesn't understand the plan, even though she doesn't know how it's going to end, she chooses to trust God in the midst of her situation. She trusts God that he has a purpose. Because remember, before you and I ever have a problem, God has a plan. He knows what he's going to do. So what are you trying to control in your life that is truly outside of your control? What are this the thing in your life that you need to surrender? The thing that you have to give over to God and let him take control of and you release your control over. Maybe it's your kid's future. Maybe it's your spouse in all areas. I doubt that any of you that are married ever stood with whoever officiated your wedding and part of your vows were, I'm going to change this person and make them better. And if any of you have finally got to the point where you've gone to a counselor, what's the first thing the counselor told you? You can't change them. You can only change you. And as a counselor says it to both people immediately think, yeah, but I'm the one that's okay. Well, you're not okay if you have a problem and you want to control the other. You got to let go of the fear. You let go of the fear, you let go of the control. What is the thing that is outside of your control that you need to let go of? What is the thing that you need to surrender to? Is it your image? Is it your pursuit of perfection? Because instead, you can trust God and you can surrender control. So if the idea, the thought of the thing you would write down in that card is in your mind now, write it. Don't let it go. Write it down. If the Holy Spirit is putting on your heart, this is the thing you've got to let go of. This is the thing you've got to let control of and let me handle. Write that thing down. By the way, did you know that surrender is never partial? You know, you don't like surrender 87%. Surrender is the whole deal. You know, it's not like I'm gonna hang on to a little bit of it, you know? Surrender is truly letting go. I mean, let me just put it in as pastoral layman terms as I possibly know how to put it in. If you can trust Jesus with your soul, can you trust him with your kids? If you can trust Jesus with your own soul, can you trust him with your fill in the blank? You need more than a sermon if you're still in the mindset of, I still need to control. I mean, if you can trust Jesus with your eternal destiny, how can we not trust him with the much smaller things of day-to-day life, of the other people that he created and loves? I mean, if you trust that he can forgive your past, why couldn't you trust him to direct your future? If he can forgive the past, Can't he also direct your future? Here's the reality. The more you try to control, the more you fear losing control. That need to control is driven by your fear. And your control is the response to that fear. I fear this, so I try to control the situation so it's going to turn out well. And maybe it's clearer to say it this way. Your desire to control is rooted in a lack of faith. Your desire to control these things in your life are rooted in a lack of faith that God can, that he will, that he does. We just got done with a whole series. We talked about miracles. God can. God does. God will. Because you begin to think that you're the one that controls the good outcomes. You're not. And you don't want to undermine or underestimate the power that God has in your life and in the lives of those around you. Because you don't always have that power to control, but you always have the power to surrender. And some of us today need to choose surrender. What does Jesus say about this? Sometimes when Jesus talks about various things, it seems cryptic at times. Sometimes he says it, and then later on he'll kind of explain it. This is one of those times when Jesus is talking about this issue. I don't even know how he could say it any clearer than he does in Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. As Jesus says, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. The thing that you want, you don't have, because you're trying to take control of that which you have no real control over. We all need to let go and to let God step in. I believe that God knows what's best, and I have to remind myself of that often, because he is the one that has the plan. He is the one who saves. He is the one who created. He is the one who knows. Interestingly, if you look through Mary's life, continue to read on in the Christmas story, and even later on in Mary's own life, her faith in God was continually rewarded with the faithfulness of God. Our faith in God, our trust in him, is many times deeply connected to his faithfulness to us. Because if you know the story, you know that Joseph did stay with Mary. And as Mary was in her 9th month on a long journey, really a bad time to take a road trip, but they took it, they found out that there was no room in the inn. And God provided a cave of protection for Mary and her baby. As she wondered what was going to become of all this, what her life would be, how people would respond to this. Would anyone even know the miracle that just had taken place? Or would they just see her as an adulterer? Here she is in this cave, not even a room in an inn that was given to her, but a cave. As she's in this cave, would anyone even know? And in come a bunch of shepherds. You are not going to believe what we just heard. Announced in the skies. King Herod, the king, as if this wasn't enough for Mary, King Herod decided he wanted to kill her baby. So he was killing every baby boy he could. What would happen? God provided them safe passage all the way to Egypt. And you think, how in the world would you make a road trip that long? How would you, once you got there, how could you provide for yourself? How could you eat? How could you have money for anything? You can't just start up and be able to provide. What would you do? And as they show up in Egypt, 3 kings show up with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Bingo. Payday. God knows what he's doing. And long before you ever had a problem, he already had the solution. and the check's in the mail. The solution is on its way. And all it takes is us taking control back and the opportunity and the gift and the salvation and the restoration that God wants to bring vanishes. And then you get to deal with it again. The scriptures say that Mary treasured these things in her heart. Because she didn't have to control the events in her life because her God was never out of control. She trusted. So this Christmas, I want to encourage you to give a very special gift. And it's the gift on the paper that I handed you. To take that piece of paper and to write something down on there that you need to let control of. And to let God control. Something that you maybe are lacking trust in God and you can recognize that. Or that you are controlling and in the process you're stunting the growth of others around you. Or you're making relationships difficult and hard because you're not letting the naturalness of that relationship grow because of the control that you're putting on it. Or maybe it's even of yourself. You're trying to control what everybody sees about you. Instead, you just need to take the first picture of the super ugly thing you are in the morning and take a picture of the dog food you had for dinner. You gotta just be you. And know that God loves you and accepts you and made you this perfect creation. And that he's put people in your life that love you, not because of what you control, but because of who you are. And that your relationship with others will be so much deeper if you let go of trying to help them be what they're supposed to be and let them be who God created them to be. And to be there for them in their bad decisions and the tough times that they go through that will help them grow and become who they need to be. But for many of you, it's going to start with letting go of something. I mean, if a teenage girl can do it, can't you? So take that piece of paper, jot something down. Don't put your name on it. Don't put anything identifying on it. And we're going to close with a song. Very fitting song for the story that we read. It's called Mary, Did You Know? And as we sing that song, the ushers are going to come forward with empty plates and pass them down the aisle. And if you want, you can just drop that in there. Now, those of you that are trying to control everything in life, you're like, well, what are you going to do with it? We're going to post them online. No, we're not. I want you to know that this is a symbolic act on your part. You're going to put it in that plate, and no eye will ever read it, will ever know what you wrote down. This is between you and God. All of those slips will go to me, and I promise you that I will care deeply for what you wrote down as I shred them into little tiny pieces. So this is just you and God, a symbolic act of saying, this is what that thing is, and I'm releasing control of it to you. As the worship team comes up, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the miracle of Christmas and the story of what Christmas is for us. That you came to show us how to do this life, how to be able to trust you, and how to surrender ourselves to God. And as you did that in Mary's life, and as Mary surrendered to you out of choice, it's my prayer, Lord, that you will help us to surrender to you as well. To still work hard, to still do our best, but in the process to let go of the control and allow you to move and to work and to trust that the path that you put us on and even the trials that we come across are the ones that we need to become the person that you have called us to be, as well as the trials and the struggles of others. That you have called us not to control that, but you have called us to love each other in the midst of our difficulties and to allow others to struggle so that they too may become more like you and become more sensitive about issues that they have struggled with to be able to help others with. We thank you for your love and your grace that you pour out to us daily. And so, Lord, as we write these things down and as we give them as our offering to you, may your Holy Spirit Remind us in those moments when we try to take control back. And may your Holy Spirit show us in our eyes as our days move forward how you use our surrender to do your mighty work that you had planned ahead of time. And to trust you that before we ever had a problem, that you already had the solution. Help us to trust in you. Help us to follow thee in the example that Mary set for us, that young teenage girl so many years ago. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers.